Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking marathon games. I'm joined in the studio by Carlo Ritchie. Carlo, we're going to talk about how long we've played games for, like in one sitting session. And we've done a foothead marathon before.
Yeah, so. Man, I'm playing games right now, and I've never stopped, and I'm never going to stop, and I'll never give up.
No, you got to keep believing. Keep on believing. But you really should see a doctor. That's not healthy. We're also going to talk Destiny, The Taken King, and just life in general post-Dinklebot. That's all coming up on 2RRR's one and only gaming show, Big Head Mode. Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm Ben O'Brien.
Ben, I'm not sure why I thought it was necessary for me to say Big Head Mode at the same time as you.
But it was great.
Well, it was great, but also made me feel like this was a... we had gone back in time. Like, this is a late 90s video game show.
Why can't we be a late 90s gaming show, Carlo?
Radical.
Yeah. Hey, gnarly. Gnarly,
man,
bro.
I've been playing some bodacious games on the SNES. Looking forward to the Nintendo 64 coming up this Christmas.
I don't know. Will it be a stayer? Has it got what it takes?
There's rumors about Zelda being in 3D. It's not a 3D game, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think... you know what? I don't think they could ever even make it in 3D.
Nah, man. That's
and what's
crazy.
This talk about first person, bonkers.
I tell you what, as long as Howard's in government, everything will be all right.
Deary me. I mean, it's hard to make jokes about how lame the 90s were when there were some great games in the 90s.
Oh, there were some really good games. Yep.
I mean, if I could just think of... I mean, oof. But the Xbox 360... No, that was... No. Oh, look, I'm sure there's...
Yeah,
we'll think of some. Yeah, it's fine. There's some great games in today, though, as we call
it. In this, the year 2015?
In this, no longer the year of Luigi, sadly.
Ah, but lest we forget.
No, I like to think that Luigi will always be in our hearts.
Yeah, what is this year, the year of, Ben?
I don't know if it works that way. I don't know if it's like Chinese New Year with Nintendo characters. Yeah. Like they've got this calendar of thousands of Nintendo characters. And what year is it? This year of Waluigi. Why did we put Waluigi and Luigi so close to each other in the calendar?
It makes me wonder if there's a Shinto calendar in Japan. Is there a Shinto calendar? Maybe there is.
I don't know. Look. Let me ask you this, Carlo. If you had to assign a Nintendo character to this year, given that we're a good way through this year now, so you've got, you know, you can draw inspiration from past events. Which Nintendo character do you reckon it would be?
Oh, Toad.
Toad.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
I mean, there's been a lot of trade industry.
It seems to go very quickly.
Okay,
but
like Toad.
It's the same speed as every other year.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what Toad is actually good at. Better at picking up vegetation in Super Mario 2. So,
yep.
So perhaps the farmers have had a good year. Jeremy, look that up for us, will you? That's Jeremy, the Big Head Mode intern. He's going to look up.
Good kid.
He's good. He's got a future, bright future ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know who don't have a bright future? And it's really
who doesn't
sad.
Have a bright future?
I'm saying who don't because I'm talking street color.
Whoa.
All right. And look, I'm gonna make the tone a little bit somber here, okay? Because it is quite sad. Peter Dinklage is no longer in Destiny, as we all know. We've come to terms with that.
It's full on.
It's been painful.
The Dinkbot, Dinklespark 344, Dink.
Guilty Dink.
Guilty Dink.
Dink no more. And you know, we were just talking last week on the show about how his legacy has lived on, and we've had no workable nickname for Nolan North's ghost, and we tried everything. I mean, we tried on the show, we put a call out to listeners, and we're Northbot, Nullbot, just Null.
None of it works. None of it's the same.
And I just want everyone, let everyone know, I'd sort of done a lot of soul searching over this. I put a post out about this, and I've come up with a name that I think it's the only thing to do. I'm gonna, from now on, ghost in Destiny is Dinkle North.
No, Ben, that's crazy.
It's Dinkle North.
It's crazy, Ben.
A lot of people said, you know, Dinklage is gone, you have to get rid of Dinkle. But to me, Dinkle is inexorably linked with Ghost. You know, the blood of Dinkle flows through that ghost's veins. And instead of replacing Dinklage, I like to think that Nolan North has fused some sort of symbiotic bond, partly due to the same terrible writing that's still there for a lot of those ghost lines. But, I mean, you know, this isn't a new ghost. It's just a slightly different ghost. So, you know, we as we forget Dinklebot, let's remember him with Dinkle North. Eh?
There'll always be a little part of me that will always remember Dinkle Spark.
I think there's going to be a small Dinkle Spark in all of us, Carlo.
You got to find the light in the darkness. Because hope shines brightest in the dark.
That had a nice little double meaning because that was the music from Kingdom Hearts. That's a line from that. But hey, let's raise the tone a little bit now. We've had our sad moment. You've been playing a new game. Well, an older game, but first time for you.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider reboot.
Definitive edition on Xbox One.
Boy, that definitive edition looks great.
It's definitive, Ben. It defines itself.
It's a definitive
edition. If you
edition.
Look up Tomb Raider, bang, it's that game.
If you look up edition as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Horrifying. Horrifying.
Lara Croft can die in a lot of gruesome ways in that game.
And in just so... Like, you just never expect it.
No.
It does this... It lures you into... You go, oh, great, I finally made it over this treacherous ledge.
Mm.
I'm get around this truck. Oh, there's another guy here. And I'm dead now.
That game does one thing that I feel like is a hallmark of modern gaming, which is just, like... I like to call it... run away from things collapsing gameplay. Because it's like it just follows this pattern of anytime you climb something, it's going to blow up. Anything you enter a building, it's going to fall down on you. Anytime you climb up a hill, you know at some point in the future you're gonna have to run down it, fall down it, scramble down it, or escape from flaming wreckage. Lara Croft she doesn't get a break in that game.
She seems, you know, the way I see it, she seems pretty in control of that mountain village. Why don't just settle there?
It's got everything you need, right?
Yeah.
You know?
It's got a village. It's got running water. You've cleared out the stronghold of these guys and you control the radio tower. Just live there.
There's chickens around and
stuff.
Yeah,
there's heaps of chooks.
It's great. I mean, you could have a really cool settlement on that island. No one else can get there.
No
Perfect
one else
retreat.
Can.
They should film the next season of Survivor there. Hard to get the film crew there.
Yeah.
But hey, I'd watch it.
Yeah. You know, that's what happens when you live on a mythical island. You know, people want to film Survivor there.
It's
classic.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just Survivor, but it happens. Like, I mean, that's what happened with The Bachelor.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to film it in Luigi's Mansion because it was spacious and... You know, Dr. Egad from Luigi's Mansion, he was like, you guys, there's ghosts. There's
you're
ghosts
too far,
all
you're
through
too
that
far
mansion.
Into this, Ben. You're too far into it already.
You've got to pull me out.
You've
got
to get out.
But you've been enjoying it.
Yeah, it's been great. It is horrifying to watch someone that you are in control of die in such horrific ways.
You feel really guilty.
I got like a bar through my throat the other day. Like a metal bar went through my throat.
They make her dangle and they make you sort of sit in the moment
and that
of your failure.
That hair animation in the Definitive Edition just really makes those deaths just that much more real.
But great hair. Great hair. I remember I watched a whole game design video on why that game had the most advanced translucent skin animations.
Mm.
Yeah, they showed you like that if she holds her arm up to the sunlight, the sun sort of reflects and changes the color of the skin accurately to the way it would. And I just remember thinking, wow, I've watched 5 minutes of this video already and that's time.
And
I'm never getting back.
Or that you could have been looking at your own hand under the sunlight.
I could have been looking at real life. I could have been looking at literally anything that was real and I probably would
have
gained insight.
You could have been learning how skin works, Ben.
Instead of how fake skin could look in a video game. That's not me, Carlo. It's not how I roll.
No.
But like, it's great that Microsoft Xbox Gold games have really lifted in quality.
It's
the last
a huge
couple of
title
months.
To give for free.
And I just read that the next month's games for Gold is season one of The Walking Dead.
What?
You heard me. Which is great value. Like, that's an awesome game.
Yeah, it's a lot of laughs, a lot of good times, a lot of fun.
It's smart too, because I'm noticing the way they're doing it. So the last free one was Ground Zeroes, Metal Gear Solid, which came out just before Ground Zero, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Here we go.
Tomb Raider. There's a new Tomb Raider coming out in a couple of months.
On its way.
And season one of Walking Dead. You know, it's sort of, they're giving you a lot of value, but it's also kind of like giving you a taste for a future thing. It's It's like giving that first taste for free, get them hooked on our sweet, sweet product.
And then you're already saving money when you get the second.
Yeah,
and then the third.
And then you're just like, you're just there huddled in a dark room. I just got to know what happened to Clementine. I got to know what happened real bad. Harrowing stuff, kids. Harrowing stuff.
Terrifying.
But hey, despite how things can seem dim and dark sometimes, Carlo, I still have hope for the future, which is our next song. This is Paul McCartney's Hope for the Future from Destiny. I just figured every time we've played this song, it's been at the end of the show. Why not give Paul a treat and start with it? You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. We'll be back after this. That was Hope for the Future. Woo. As Sir Paul McCartney himself just said.
Yeah, in case you forget it, it gives you the name three times in a row at the end of the song.
Hope for the future. Sorry, what?
Hope for the future. Future.
Did you just say...
Hope for the future.
Woo. Here we go. I genuinely like that song now. I mean, we made fun of it the first time that song surfaced, and I just totally and unironically love the 80s power ballad that song is.
I don't mind it. It's now changed a bit, but it just at the time had no idea what it was doing, you know, like,
yeah.
And it was sort of like, oh,
I'll tell you what it was doing. It was rocking us back to a time and a place that's magical, you know, that is 1985.
Put this song on the end of the game when you finish it. That's like an 80s power ballad that's really tongue-in-cheek, taking the piss. And then you, at the end of a really serious moment, like, is this game like taking the piss out of itself, or is this meant to be serious? In which case, this is awful.
I don't know, Carlo. Is it?
Touché, Ben. Touché.
Here we go. That's how you win any philosophical argument. But hey, let's go to some exciting news. And look, it's not the biggest news, but I'm going to start with it because you're gonna love this. All right. GTA 5 players have found a cool new Bigfoot secret.
Bigfoot secret.
So, you know how in, I know you haven't played much of single player, but in the new version, you can find throughout the area peyote, which you take and it lets you play as a different animal.
Yeah.
There was a random update like the other week, and, you know, Rockstar didn't say what it was for. So, a bunch of players went and started digging through the files and trying to figure it out, and they found that apparently there was heaps more examples of these peyote plants than had been discovered. And so they found all these weird transmissions that were kind of talking about a Bigfoot conspiracy. One thing led to another. They found this plant, and the plant itself turns you into a Bigfoot. Then you can just run around, get up to mischief as a Bigfoot. Like, it doesn't really change anything except that you get to play as Bigfoot.
In the single player, this is?
In the single player. And I like to think that the Bigfoot playable thing isn't on offer if you chose to kill the Bigfoot at the end of Red Dead Redemption. Sorry, no, they're all gone. Yeah, you ended that.
You had your chance.
But I just love it. I love hidden stuff coming out of games long after it's been released. Mm-hmm. It makes me think, you know, this whole weird mystery in GTA 5 about the aliens and the spaceships and all that.
All the strange symbols written on the sides of the mountain.
Yeah, you go up the top of Mount Chiliad, mm-hmm. and a picture that looks suspiciously like a jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really, really hope that we actually get to see what that is.
Yeah.
It's just something like when Easter eggs continue to perplex players, you know you're in for it. And a developer like Rockstar, like they don't put stuff like that in lightly.
I feel like around.
I feel like they're more than happy for something to just never get discovered.
Yeah.
Oh God, the mysteries, Carlo. The things unseen.
They are bound, Ben. Mysteries abound.
And that wasn't the only sort of hidden thing that was discovered in Destiny. players discovered that in one of the new levels in the Taken King, which was the daily heroic mission for that day, if you took an alternate route to escape from this thing you're running away from, you find a whole new mission hidden within that mission.
What?
So you start going a different direction, and you get notified by Nathan Fillion's character, who says, hey, you know, there's all these things up ahead, you know, do you reckon you can take them out? And you have a time limit, and it's incredibly difficult. They recommend that you're in a fire team, and you kill waves and waves of enemies, and then a huge boss. And if you beat all that within the 10-minute time limit, you get an exotic sniper rifle.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's only available on that level when it is rotated as a daily mission.
Those diabolical developers over at Destiny. I realized how alliterative that was.
So yeah, once you're trapped in alliteration, you can't though. You can't. Yeah. It's like skiing downhill. You know, you just gotta go with it and hope you don't hit anything.
I wouldn't know.
You'd never skied downhill.
No,
only uphill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you roll, Carlo.
Yep.
And speaking of skiing
gotta
uphill,
gotta work for the joy.
There is actually nothing to do with skiing uphill. This is kind of a weird story that's just come out in the last couple of days about video game voice actors thinking of planning a strike. Apparently, the SAG-AFTRA, which is the union that looks after voice actors among, you know, a bunch of other, you know, arts jobs within the games industry, they're mulling over whether it's worth striking in order to obtain better conditions for its members. Specifically, they want it enshrined in contracts that there is much better protection and pay for when a role requires physically demanding voice work. So that kind of like repeated loud screams and having to do those really, really, you know, 1,000 takes of just like generic soldier scream one, scream
yeah,
two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and make sure that stuff isn't taken for granted. And also clear a definition of what, whether you're a voice actor or a motion capture actor, especially when games have a lot of motion capture these days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the big one is performance bonuses when a game sells over 2 million copies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the most famous case I can think of where an actor has complained about that was the actor whose name, I've had it written down here. The actor, of course, who played Nico in GTA 4.
Uh-huh.
Who was pretty much an unknown actor at the time. Michael Hollick is his name. Pretty much unknown. But, I mean, Nico was a huge character, and that game sold a lot of copies. And he came out and was like, you know, it's just weird for me to feel like I got this standard actor's rate and then keep reading in Forbes, you know, that GTA 4 has broken all these records. And
it's
something that you kind of, that he's not seeing any of. You know, although in that case, he did badmouth Rockstar a lot, and I'm pretty sure he was cut out of some stuff. And that's, I think, I'm pretty sure that's one of the main reasons that he wasn't in any of the DLC as well.
Sunrise, sunset.
But yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting, I think, that, I mean, it's a weird double-edged sword for me because, I mean, this debate's been happening online that, on one hand, like, that's a fair point. Voice actors do require a lot of work.
Absolutely.
But then it also makes me think of, like, there are thousands of game developers who pour hours and hours into these games as well, and I mean, they're working full-time, not just, you know, voice recording hours. And then when the game launches, like, they kind of just keep going on patches and then DLC, and then they roll straight through to the sequel. And it's kind of, you know, games in general, I mean, like, they're so big now and there's so much money involved. Surely it's only a matter of time before, you know, people start looking closer at work conditions for everyone in the games industry.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is fascinating because, I mean, like, a game like Destiny, for example, was $500 million to make.
Mm.
And it's made that back. It made that back in its first week of release or something crazy like that.
Mm.
So, what does that trickle then on down to the people who are working on that game? You know, do they take, or is it that profit go exclusively to,
you know, funding more sort of.
Yeah, or game back stuff. into the production company, to the publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting to sort of discuss those conditions in a financial sense.
I mean, mind you, when Destiny the Taken King costs, you know, virtually the price of a full retail game as DLC, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they raid so much money. I feel like the system is almost designed so that they can only make a lot of money.
Cheeky Bungie.
This is, I thought I'd pulled this story up specifically for you, Carlo. A top Nintendo creator thinks that if Link is ever played in a movie, a live-action movie, he should be played by a woman.
Mm.
I thought it was interesting. This was the Wind Waker, producer of Wind Waker and Link to the Past, producer Takashi Tezuka, said that it would be very fun and awesome if Link was played by a female actress, or, you know, a boyish female actress. He doesn't think that the gender is something that has locked Link down. Like, he views Link as a game character as quite androgynous, as this sort of, character that's sort of non-defined, so the player can define them themselves.
Yeah, right.
Which I think is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Link's one of the big characters. Imagine, I mean, there was a lot of speculation in the new game that Link was a woman from that trailer that they released. Which I still think would be really cool.
Yeah, right.
In the new Zelda.
The one where you're riding through Hyrule and then Link shoots a...
The arrow and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I've said on the show before that I think an awesome Zelda game would be one actually about Zelda and Sheik in that 7-year gap between in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, yeah. I think even just, you know, I mean, this whole... so much of the lore they build up in Wind Waker is sort of, oh, you know, they pass down green clothes to children and things. So why not make a hero a woman?
Or at the very least, I see no reason why you shouldn't be able to choose your gender. Like, you can choose your name.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference on the game.
It really doesn't. If anything, it would be interesting the way it changes the whole save the princess trope.
Yeah.
You know, it would change the way you viewed that, potentially. So there we go. And one last thing is that Bethesda have released a bunch of stuff outline the perk system for Fallout. Now, you didn't really play much Fallout 3, did you?
No.
It had quite a cumbersome... I mean, they introduced the perk system, which, you know, later then showed up in Skyrim, which was great.
Yeah.
But it still had this very cumbersome, like, you know, you had to, like, put points into very specific skills.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really streamlined it now, so you just have... seven things of strength,
special.
Perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck.
Special.
And all the perks bleed from that. And so they're like, it is basically like Skyrim now, you know?
Yeah.
So strength has a bunch of perks and you put, you know, points into them and it lets you move further down that skill tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like they put heaps of cool perks in there. The one I really want to try is apparently down the bottom of the charisma tree is the intimidation perk, and you can be so intimidating that you can just convince people to do whatever you want.
I don't know if you've watched the video of the perception tree, and when you get to maximum,
yeah, those great little animated ones.
Yeah, you can take the ammo out of someone's gun.
Really?
You can pickpocket the ammo out of someone's gun.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Can you do that and then challenge them to a duel?
Well, that's what it seems to be doing in the video. It's, you know, like, you steal the ammunition, they try and shoot at you, and then you shoot them.
Well,
perception.
They had it coming.
Am I right?
They had it coming. So, look, I mean, there's a lot of specific stuff. I'm going to actually post that on the Facebook page.
Go on, anyone wants to
read it, because it's a lot to read out here. But it's really interesting. And if, like me, you can't believe that Fallout 4 is less than 2 months away.
What?
Less than 2 months away. Bang, bang, bang. But hey, let's go to some music and come back and talk marathon gaming.
Let's hear those tunes.
This is Adventure Found Me by Jason Graves from the Tomb Raider soundtrack. Fun story, Carlo, we think you might have met Jason Graves when you were in in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And we'll never know. We'll be back after this. Here we go. Welcome back. This is Big Head Mode, and look, I wanted to talk about game marathons, and this isn't, like, a marathon sounds very official.
Yeah.
When I say gaming marathons, this can totally be amateur gaming marathons, you know? This isn't you, performing a marathon with a, you know, snooty-looking timekeeper from Guinness World Records watching over your shoulder. I just mean, when did you, like, spend way too long playing something?
Well, I mean, the obvious time that jumps out to me, Ben, is the 48-hour video game marathon that we played. And I came second in that marathon for the total number of hours played, with a total time of 36 hours or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Or 38 hours. And it was 38 hours, and 38 of those hours were consecutive hours.
Yeah, right.
And that is probably the longest time I've physically played video games.
There were periods,
a day and a half.
There were periods during that marathon where you weren't looking real good. You were started hallucinating.
Yeah, that I had whole conversations with robots in Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect 2.
What robots?
In the Zaid mission. In the Zaid mission, I was playing through and I was super tired. And I just remember having this weird thing where the robots were talking and I was sort of involved with it. But it was just a crazy hallucination. I sort of had blacked out in my chair.
Mm.
And so that's when I decided I needed to have a sleep.
I think, you know, so this is an extreme end of the spectrum. I mean, this is what happens when adults forget about that thing called...
being an adult.
Being an adult. Because when you're a kid, I mean, game time is a rare thing. Did your parents ever have you know, time rules?
Oh, we had very
strict
video game hours.
What were the conditions?
There weren't so many conditions. I just wasn't allowed to play for very long, maybe a couple of hours. Couldn't play during the daytime, you know, unless a friend was around, and then maybe I could play for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty well restricted. But you would have like those weekends where you would go, everyone would go to someone's house. It would have a Nintendo 64.
Exactly. It was a friend's house.
You'd play a big four-player thing and you'd play until maybe midnight or 2 o'clock and then sleep and then wake up and play more video games in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I remember the first time at a friend's house that, you know, everyone had that one friend with parents who were a little bit more relaxed than most. It was the first time we had a gaming sleepover when... we could just keep playing. Like, it was like, we're looking at the clock and we're like, no, what's going on? No one's come down and told us to go to bed yet. I guess we just keep going. And we did. And then it was like, you know, I would have been like 12, 13. And then morning rolled around and it was 7 a.m. And I was just like, that was incredible. I could just keep playing. And then, you know, fell asleep at lunch later that day at a family gathering.
Yeah, we had similar, like, I remember going to a friend's house and playing all through the night. And then at 6 in the morning, we were like, we've never all been awake at this time in the morning. We've got to go and do something. So we sort of wandered the streets of my town at 6 a.m. The only thing that was open was the newsagent.
I remember how exhilarating that was as a kid to be like, oh my God, we stayed up all night gaming.
Yeah.
Do that now? That's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing.
What have I done?
Like, I find now when you're gaming, every hour past... Maybe 12:30 or 1, you're kind of just like slowly shaking your head. You're just like, I shouldn't be doing this.
There is nothing. But I shouldn't. Nothing good comes from staying up all night. Like, there's nothing you can do that feels better doing it all night. Until dawn. You know,
you're an adult. Like, you can go to bed and play in the. You could skip work and play all day if you wanted to.
Oh, what did you do? I played chess all the way until morning. Like, I read a book all the way until dawn. I went out. Like drinking all of that, like nothing is until dawn.
It just great game though. But no, you're right. It's this weird thing. But you know what though? Like, I reckon I still prefer playing at night.
Which games? Doesn't,
yeah, totally.
Mm. I'm an afternoon gamer.
Oh, really?
That's my ideal time.
That's just sweet. That's a sweet gaming spot.
Yeah, that's when I hit. It's my afternoon delight, if you will.
Let's bring things now. Let's bring things modern. All right. What do you reckon? Like, apart from obviously the marathon, you know, something to me that is a big part of what games you can actually have marathon sessions on is what games compel you to play them a lot. You know.
Well,
so what are the kind of games that you just couldn't tear yourself away from?
Well, I 2 weeks after Witcher 3 had come out, I checked my playing time of that game, and it was 130 hours or something like that in 2 weeks. And at the time, I thought, oh, maybe I've played like 30, 40 hours of this game.
Yeah.
But somehow I'd put in... And if you take into effect maybe a couple of nights I hadn't quit the game, and so the Xbox kept the time going. If you kill that a couple of times, it's still probably 100 hours... in 2 weeks, I think it was wake up in the morning, have breakfast, have a shower. Well, I think I've earned myself a bit of Witcher 3. Oh, it's midnight. well, yeah, time to go to bed.
When you have a game like that that you really want to play, like, I find the conditions that you give yourself or that allow you to game become really easy. It's like, well, I clean my teeth. I guess that qualifies.
I did wake
up. I'm wearing clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I really better get started on this thing I've got to write. Well, that's one sentence.
I've earned a break.
That's enough. That's enough. That'll get me through. You know, like, Destiny's definitely one that's done that for me. Mm. I'm a huge sucker. Well, I mean, especially now that I'm playing Destiny again. Logging in on Fridays for that Xur, when Xur shows up in the marketplace. Gotcha. Did it tonight. And
anything
I love
good?
How I'm... Well, actually, mixed bag. He had an exotic hand cannon called Hawkmoon.
Hawkmoon?
Yeah. Looks pretty rad. Like a metal thing. It's got engraved feathers on it. And the special perk on it is that it has a random chance for 3 magazines in its chamber to do, like, 10 times damage.
Wow.
Yeah.
A random chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I will be...
But, I mean, Destiny, I reckon, is a classic example of that game that fits into that one more level.
Yeah,
sort of marathoning.
Yeah.
You go, well, I just got this new gear. Now I've got to go patrol and try it out.
I
got those bounties, so I may as well keep patrolling until I get those bounties.
I can collect 22 spirit blooms. I got time to collect 22 spirit blooms.
And then in the time it takes you to get those things, maybe you get an engram that you're like, well, I should go and get this. I got to get this decoded before I go
back.
I got to figure it all out. Yeah, and then what time is it? Oh, it's 4. Oh, it's 4. Great. What time did I start? Yesterday. Yeah.
I guess it's tricky for you as well, Ben, in that a lot of the gaming, you finish work quite late in the evening, so a lot
that
of your is gaming
true.
Is done after 11 o'clock, you know? Whereas a lot of my game, get it done in the afternoon. Done. Have dinner. Bed.
I think, too, like, I never feel like I'm wasting time when I game at night, even though, like, I could totally be doing stuff at night. Like, during the day, I always feel... Like, gaming during the day just makes you feel guilty.
Yeah.
At night, it's like, well, it's cold and dark out there, and I'm not going out there. Like, sure, I could do work or something at home, but...
I think that's why I love rainy days so much. Because there's some association with my childhood of like, well, this is a day where I can spend inside playing video games.
Or being sick as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, with the added bonus, maybe you can convince someone to bring you something. Yeah. Well, I can't even leave the bed. Luckily, my Xbox is just there. Who are you talking to? You live alone. You don't have parents. You don't live with your parents. Oh, I'm just so sick. I'm your flatmate. Get a job. Look, I miss marathons. I miss marathons being a good thing. You know?
Just have to do a 48-hour again, Ben, and just not go insane this time.
I think, well, I mean, is it as fun if we don't go insane?
Better food. That's what you need to do. That's the key to a good marathon.
That was what you said last time. You were like, I remember you were like, no junk food, guys. You got to have, you know, plenty
lots
of nuts,
of fruit and vegetables.
Lots of fruit. And then old mate McClurkin, our co-host Tom, rocks up with his
bag
energy drinks, his lollies and his chips. He's a bad influence.
Send
on
us all down the path of wrong.
Hey, let's go to some music, and then you know, we started talking about it there. I want to talk about Destiny, the Taken King.
Okay.
Which is slowly taking my life.
Hey.
It's a problem. Please help. We'll be back after this. That is the name of the show, Big Head Moda. And we were just talking about game marathons. Satan Sarral has come in on Facebook, our good friend Satan, who's
hey,
hasn't
Satan
been on the show
Sarral,
in a while.
Whatever will be, will be.
He says, 13 hours, Mass Effect 3, never again. Which is something, a sentiment you probably don't agree with, Carlo, because I don't think you could never again Mass Effect.
Every hour spent in Mass Effect 3 is an hour well spent. It's an hour, you're not getting back, but you don't need to get it back.
It's technically, it's adding an hour to your lifespan, right?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
You've saved an hour, and you've saved a galaxy.
Now, saving galaxies is what we're going to talk about via Destiny the Taken King. Now, I know you're very cynical, Carlo.
Look at this face, Ben.
It's a face of cynicism. Yeah. You're raising your eyebrows, listener is raising his eyebrows, and his face is in a frozen expression that says, "Come here, Destiny, you bloody scallywag. I know your tricks."
Yeah, I've seen your trick. I've seen right through your tricks, Destiny.
I think any skepticism leveled at Destiny is probably fair enough, because there was a lot of missing stuff. They didn't get a lot right. But you know what? To give Bungie their credit, even though they did it in their annoyingly vague and obsequious way, they have still kept improving the game and adding things and tweaking things. And, you know, to their credit, it's a great game now.
Full credit to the boys.
Full credit to the boys, the girls, the, you know, the, anything else. Like, it was a great effort.
No, your appreciative mutterings about this game have compelled me to reconsider it.
It's pretty obvious too. From the moment you load up the Taken King, I reckon in the entire first mission, including the cutscene that leads into it, the story in the middle of it, and then the cutscene immediately after it, more narrative than the entire Destiny vanilla version of
right,
Destiny.
Right, right.
Like it starts off with your ghost explaining why he was looking for you, how long he'd been looking, all that sort of, all the weird questions that you had about, like, why was I just brought back to life on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Get cuts in with that. You get a huge space battle cutscene that
battle.
Explains who your enemies are and who your allies are. Then you have a level that you play where it actually has stuff happening in it, like there's sort of environmental storytelling. Things are blowing up around you. You can now scan items in the environment and your ghost gives you extra information.
It's all I ever wanted, Ben.
It's all they needed to freaking do in the first place. But it's like, you know, it only took them a year, but it's great. And then at the end of that mission, you get a full cutscene between the three vanguards. You know, old mate, forget
Nathan
his name.
Fillion.
Nathan Fillion. There is Lance Reddick from The Wire. The guy whose voice we like doing impressions of.
The Cabal. Are crafty.
Don't trust the Cabal. Once I trusted a Cabal and he stole my hat. And
the Cabal
Gina
will take you out to dinner and never call you back.
But like, you get a full cutscene with them. And they talk and they interact and there's personality and there's story. And it feels like Halo or something. Like what, you know, any other game that Bungie
well,
have done.
Well, Gina Torres and Nathan Fillion feel like Firefly maybe even.
Well, yeah. If you like Nathan Fillion, then Taken King is up your alley, because there is a lot of Nathan Fillion. He narrates a lot more missions. He has a lot more personality. It's sort of like they've really taken that whole
King.
Yeah. I saw your eyes light up there and I tried to ignore it. It's like they've really taken a lot of that that negativity towards Dinklage's unemotional voice acting. They've really taken that on board and gone, like, we've got to inject this with as much personality, as much flair and color as we possibly can.
Mm.
And like they did, it totally works. You know, Nathan Fillion does a great performance. All the characters actually interact with one another during missions, so it's not just one basic voice. It's like, "Hello, Guardian, go to this place and press X and do that thing later." Like, there's banter and there's chatter and there's story context. And
that's fun.
It's just everything that was missing. I don't know why it took him so long to figure it out.
Does Liam Neeson come back to rescue the king?
Now, Carl, I'm pretty sure he made that joke 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it's a goodie.
It's
it was good. I'll pay that. I'll pay that. But like, in terms of the actual gameplay itself, they've revamped a lot of the... I mean, look, at its core, it's still Destiny.
Many funds?
Lots of funds. Did you ask many funds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm having a lot of fun. It's sort of like, I don't know if it's just that the things they needed to tweak were minor, but it's sort of like, I feel like the changes have been enough for me to kind of feel like it doesn't feel as much like a cynical grind. Like, it's easy to get loot. Enemies drop engrams like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first-person elements of that game never really had any problems with them. I mean, from a actual gameplay perspective, it was, you know, all really enjoyable. The shooting aspects were really good, and, I mean, I felt like as a first-person shooter, it had a really intuitive system of controls, and it was very easy to pick up. It was really just that the game built around that was so lackluster in terms of
Yeah.
Providing you any impetus to do anything in that world that it had created.
Yeah, like, and I think they've done a couple of things that really go a long way at trying to make you feel more immersed in that world. And one of the big ones, I think, is the quest system. So now, instead of just kind of, you never really had a clear idea of what your objective was.
Yeah.
Now you actually have a quest log, and all of the missions are given by specific characters, and you talk to that character to start the missions, and you have a little log where it has, where they tell you why you have to do it, and there's kind of...
Is this opposed to patrols, or is in addition?
This is
to
this is replacing like the basic story structure. So you remember how once upon a time you only ever had one mission at a time?
Yeah,
like
Now
it kind of unlocks them all.
Yeah,
so you have
right.
You have your Venus missions is one quest line. Your Mars missions is one quest line, and you know you can go through your quest log, which can hold like up to 36 quests, and just filter through and go, which ones do I want to do?
You know, this is going to sound really dumb, but I only just realized that Venus and Mars were named after Roman gods. Like, just this moment.
What, just then? Just that second.
I was like, because I went to make a lame joke. I was like, you know, like, was Aphrodite in there as well? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, these are, that's what they're named after.
Luckily, you didn't make that joke and avoided embarrassing yourself on radio.
Yeah, lucky.
Like could be close. I just think they've done a lot. And in terms of content, like the one sticking point I would say this game is it's super expensive. Like as DLC, you're looking at in Australia $60 for the whole expansion.
$60.
I mean, I do think there's a lot of value in that. I counted the other day how many missions I have total that I can do, and it's over 60.
Now, for those people who didn't buy the original Destiny or any of the DLC, $120 will get you Destiny, Taken King, and all the DLC. Boom.
I think it's even cheaper if you buy it physical. I think I saw it for like $90 or $100 at a unnamed retailer the other day. Yeah, yeah. No, it is good value if you don't own it, which is great if you never played Destiny.
Sweet.
A little punishing on the people who have and perhaps have also bought all the expansions. So, not a lot of recognition for their hardcore fan base.
That wound.
That's all right. It's not you, mate. It's Bungie.
Classic Bungie. Very
classic
cheeky.
Classic Bungie. But very hey, no, cheeky. It's all right. I got a limited edition skin, so I feel like that makes up for it. But no, look, that aside, price aside, which I think is probably the only big downside, like it's going to turn a lot of people off, but if you have been avoiding Destiny, if you did never make that initial investment, I just with the Taken King, I just say you've got to go for it. It's a great game, and even though it's a first-person shooter, and people might not be first-person shooter fans, it goes a long way to be a deeper and more rich experience than your average Call of Duty. You know, it's not just a shooter. This is a game that's about friends, like hanging out with your friends. It's a great social experience. Like, it's still one of the best co-op games out there. And tackling those big raids and those strikes together is just awesome. It's
Would
a
you
really
say you're
experience.
Taken with the game, Ben?
Okay. Yes, it's a great game. It's a great game. Look, we got to wrap up. Let's go to some messages and then come back and say goodbye. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, Carlo.
And what a show it was.
There were highs, there were lows. Remember we talked about Dinkle North?
I remember we talked about the Taken King.
No. I guess it wasn't that memorable. but hey, you know what will be memorable? Our Saturday, if you are listening live to the show, tomorrow we have a full day of Big Head Mode activities planned. It's Oz Comic Con in Sydney. We have at 1:30 on Stage 4 a... Quiz Head Mode, a big quiz event. Carlo, you're hosting. I am competing.
Yep, you're going to get put through the paces, Ben.
We really are. It's myself, Bajo from Good Game. We have Ray Johnston and Jazz Twemlo on another team, so that's exciting. But the big event is later that night, bonus stage, 8 p.m. at Giant Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
We have two mega guests, Senator Scott Ludlam
Crazy
from the Australian
huge
Greens and Dante Basco,
what?
A.K.A. Rufio, A.K.A. Prince Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender. It's going to be nuts. So go to giantdwarf.com.au to check out the deets.
If you're listening to the podcast, assume it was great.
If you listen to the podcast and we're still alive, assume nothing went wrong.
Yeah.
And check out the website, because there's no doubt going to be pics and vids and stuff and the like. And
just keep having a lot.
There's
of
a
laughs.
Lot of big headman stuff coming up.
Keep
especially
playing
PAX,
a lot of games so. And keep having a lot of fun.
He said it best. Look, until then, why don't we play you out with some groovy tunes? This is Earthworm Jim Live by Tommy Tallarico from Video Games Live Volume 4. I've been Ben. This has been Carlo. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.